Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Welcome, ya Mustafa. الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين Esteemed listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, We say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. We welcome you to this program, Madrasa on Air. And this is the Madrasa of Marcus Sahaba. And we have different programs on every day and different topics of our Madrasa. So on the Monday, it's Aqaid, and that is our beliefs, our faith. Apparently yesterday, we got the news after the program, although the program was done, that it didn't play on air. So today we will divide this lesson of Taharat. Today was supposed to be Taharat, so we will divide it in two. We will have a break in between, and then so from the first part of it will be yesterday's, a quick discussion of yesterday, what took place, what we discussed, and the second part will be on Tahara. So Iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Iman in many places of the Quran. If you recall, just before we started the madrasa officially, we read a story about Umar radiallahu anhu and what he did when he accepted Islam and how he was on his way to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And prior to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in fact, made the dua and the supplicated that, O Allah, you strengthen this deen, either with Umar or Abu Jahl, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted Umar radiallahu anhu. So he was on his way to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his sword in his hands and everything ready to go. And on the way, he met with the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They said, you're going to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you better first set your own home and make your own home correct first if you're out to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as your sister has accepted Islam. When he got there, and this made him more furious, and when he got to the house, his sister's house, and he discovered that she also accepted Islam. And after that whole incident that took place, we're not going to go into the finer details, but we never discussed at that point what were those verses that Umar radiallahu anhu read that changed his heart from kufr into iman. What were those verses that had so much of light and had so much of nur in? And those were the verses of Surah Taha. That is chapter Taha. And the first verse he read, and he read Taha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are different meanings to this word, and they are just suggestions that this word either means, it could mean this or it could mean that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse and Taha, and Umar radiallahu anhu at that point he had these verses in his hands. And remember, while we are going to be busy with Tahara, that for those people who say that you don't need Tahara, you don't need to have, you didn't need to carry out the actions of ablution before touching the Quran, then we ask you one question, that why did Umar radiallahu anhu's sister tell that, Umar radiallahu anhu, that you need to make wudu, purify yourself before you touch the verses of the Quran. So she did tell him, and she had to perform the wudu, and he did perform the ablution. And what were these verses? Taha. So there are suggestions of what this means. Some people say that it means the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Others suggest that it is a word like Alif Lam Mim that is in the beginning of the Quran. But we leave it and we say we hand this over, and we This is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left certain words to mean or to be for exclusively for him to clarify, and that might be in the year after. And that is also another answer while we are here to those people who say that what is, you get the Shias who are not a sect of Islam. You'll find on many websites, like this morning when I was searching, you find Islam, this person is a Shia Muslim. Shias are not Muslim. That is the total confusion, and they are trying to confuse you just there and there. Shias are not Muslim. If someone offers you or gives you an invitation and says you need to adopt this way of life, the Shia way of life, remember, as soon as you know this way contains the methods of swearing, the Sahaba, the companions, and just looking down upon them, then you know this, there can't be any truth in this. And to the point that the Quran, which is our main source, they totally say that this has been, the Quran has been changed, and they don't, if you're saying the Quran has been changed, then you're going against the verse of the Quran. And just to go against the verse of the Quran enters you into kufr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have sent down the revelation and this reminder, and that is the Quran, and we will protect it. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So by you negating that, you saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't protected it, that alone, before even going to the other intricacies, that alone enters you into kufr. That is a main belief of iman. We have to believe in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that, so while we hear that, they totally negate that the Quran is in its true form. And they say that there is someone who's in Islam, you're going to get these sects all the time. It all the time happens. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent out a group out there, and they are there to propagate the haq and to preserve the haq and to preserve the deen, the truth of deen. And they often get caught up in their own. That's why you will find, first they believe in tahrif al-Quran. Tahrif al-Quran means that the Quran has been changed. And then afterwards they say, no, we don't, we've realized the harms in it, therefore we don't submit to it anymore. But then what is your faith based on? Where are your principles? We say Islam is Quran, it's ahadith, the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this all, and those that followed the Sahaba and those that followed them, and all, every person that takes on their path, they are the ones that you should adopt their company. And so our deen is based on those principles. And that's where all our fiqh comes from. That's where all, that's what we pose. Where does your principles come from? And why? Why does your principles keep on changing? Islam's principles don't change. It's the Quran, it's the Hadith, and it's the words of the Sahaba, and that's, everything is protected. So when your principles start to change, and when you start saying that the Bible, for that matter, if you're talking about the Bible, it has been changed, and you can't find the exact, and no, but there's no consensus about the Bible. Every group thinks that it's, yeah, it's, everyone agrees on the Quran, every Muslim. The Shias, that's another proof that Shias can't be Muslim, because they don't believe in the Quran. And well, the whole, or every Muslim knows that the Quran has been protected. And what's a miracle? We always say it in our Quran lesson, which is on Wednesdays, that how a person recites from his memory at the age of sometimes 7-8 years, they become hafidh. Hafidh is one who protects, and he protects the words of the Quran, and he reads it from memory. How is that possible? That is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to these verses of the Quran and reading, some people say, the Shias say this as well, that you shouldn't read the Quran if you don't understand it. So we say, what's the meaning of Alif Lam Mim? Do you know the meaning, the exact meaning? We don't want suggestions. We want the exact meaning of Alif Lam Mim, nobody can give you an exact answer. They are suggestions, and it perhaps is this, perhaps is that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not clarify it, but perhaps he did know who is leaving it, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform us in the akhirah. But we say for now, this is proof that you are reading words which you do not understand that form part of the Quran, and you submit to it. Therefore, that hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where for every letter you get a reward, and every letter doesn't mean alif lam mim. Every letter means alif 10 rewards, lam 10 rewards, mim 10 rewards, toha to 10 rewards, ha 10 rewards. So you're reading something that you don't understand, but you're getting rewarded for it. So how can you give that claim that there is no benefit in reading something that you don't understand? We say that you need to study the hadith and the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this all has been said to protect your iman, and we are busy with iman. So taha, many commentators have given different meanings. These are the words and these are the verses that Umar radiallahu anhu, who was at one point the enemy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, became the lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What transformed him? We are believers. Most of us are new believers. Some are willing to accept Islam. What are those words that transformed such a person whose heart and whose heart and feelings were totally against Islam and totally against the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? All of a sudden something softened his heart and he became a total lover of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was that? That was the Quran. This is a miracle of the Quran. People listen to it. And we mentioned in the one fiqh program which we have on Thursdays, we had it about 2 weeks back, and it was on giving birth. And there we mentioned that an interesting story had happened with personal experience with my wife when she was giving birth at Genesis. So there was a nurse, and the nurse was a Jew. And we were playing from our phone Surah Maryam, and we were playing the verse. She was experiencing the birth pains, everything was there. So we were playing Surah Maryam to ease in the pains. And this nurse heard the Quran, and she asked my wife, like, what is this? So my wife said, this is the Quran. She said, can you please send it to me? And my wife sent it to her. After a few months, and this is proof that she used to listen to it, she said she lost everything on her phone. She needs it again. Can you please send it to me again? A Jew saying this here about the Quran. Truly, when you listen to the Quran, you will notice there is something else that goes. There is a communication. It is food directly for your heart. It has to have an effect in your heart. And for those who reject it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a veil over them. They can't even sense that this is truth, that this is food. You give a beggar food and he looks at it and he says, nah, this is not good. This is, and you know in your heart you're giving him some good food, but he's totally rejecting it. How it's totally, and you think common sense that you're hungry, you're starving, shame. I came out and I took the food, bringing the food hot, ready for you, and you still don't want this. And you want the glue or you want the drugs. Then there's something wrong with you. But still, he doesn't want the food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a veil over these people that they don't want the food for the heart. They totally negate it. They thought their hearts can't manage the recitation of it. They turn away. That's how dark their hearts have become. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us and protect us from such, and give us the ability to practice on what we have to practice on, and give us understanding of the deen and put nur into our hearts. So taha, back to the verses, these verses that softened the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We learned in the Quran lesson that فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, that when you read the Quran, you need to seek protection from shayateen, you need to seek protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the accursed shayateen. So you will recite أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So طَوْهَا, when before we recite Quran, we will purify ourselves, perform ablution, which is tahara, the second part, we're going to come to it, and then you recite طَوْهَا, you recite أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ and you recite طَوْهَا. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى, the second verse of Surah Taha. We did not reveal the Quran to you for you to face hardship. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in the early days, he experienced a lot of pain and distress. Remember, Nabi, we are referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were having lunch and my daughter asked an interesting question. And this is how we should be as new believers. When we don't understand something, we should pose the question. And you can send your questions through. We'll give you the number after the break. So, she asked this question. She's about 3 years old. She asked, why do we say sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And why sometimes do we say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And which is the right one? What can I call Muhammad? Must I call him Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So I explained to her that your title, your mother will call you, she can say, Binti, and that's, we know from the Arabic lesson, that Binti means my daughter. So the mother, the father can refer and call her Binti, my daughter. Or she can say Amina, that's her name, or Asma, that's her name. So you can call them by their names, or you can call them by their titles. Binti, my daughter. So Nabi means prophet, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his name. Therefore, after Nabi, we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we say prophet or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah also means the prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll come inshallah and discuss the differences between Nabi and Rasul inshallah. So, طَوْهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. So, we have not revealed the Qur'an to you for you to face hardship. So, this was consolation and consolement from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Creator is consoling the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand this communication, that the very, when the Quran was revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the verses with Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reveal, for the verses to be revealed to him. So this communication between Allah and the means was Jibreel alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You send a message to your friend who's in Canada. So you sent the message and someone asked, what is the means? So the means was WhatsApp and it reached him. So here the means was Jibreel alayhi salam, an archangel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of our beliefs. So understand this conversation and understand that these verses soften the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we did not reveal the Quran to you for you to face hardship. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced a lot of hardship in the beginning days. When you accept Islam, you are going to get a lot of comments from people, from your family members and so forth. We know one person who accepted Islam, he had to disassociate himself from his entire family because they all abandoned him for accepting Islam. He says, I don't mind all of that. He says, my family now are the Muslims. I feel accepted. And another, also a revert, mentions that he feels confident and he feels like he belongs to a group when he after he accepted Islam. So these are just few benefits of Islam. So he had to leave, abandon his entire family, and he accepted Islam. But he says, the joy of Islam cannot be explained. So, Taha, we did not reveal the Quran to you to face hardship. Illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. So you might go outwardly, you might experience these difficulties, but that satisfaction, what you're going to get in Akhirah, what you will never ever want to even trade that in, if you are truthful and sincere to Allah and His Rasul and to yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have sent down the Quran rather to remind him who has the fear. So this Quran is not to cause difficulty upon your life when you embrace Islam, when you are preaching the Quran and the ways of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather this Quran has been revealed to him who has the fear. Tanzeelam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is this revelation from? Is it from an author of a human, of the humankind? Who is this being? Allah. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلا. A revelation from the one who created the earth and the heavens so high. So you are what you read. This Quran is food for your soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this Quran, a revelation from the one who created the earth and the heavens so high. So it has to be mind-blowing. And this should entice you that I just want to open the Quran now. I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. When last have I opened the Quran? I need to read one verse from the Quran. Ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arshi istawa. Ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arshi istawa. The All Merciful who has positioned himself on the throne. Who is this Allah? Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta ath-thara. Does he own just a home, a mansion, few cars, few plastic cars which we have today in our garages, but because they are decorated, we honor them so much. But this creator, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, for him is whatever is in the heavens, وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and whatever is in the earth, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and whatever is in between, وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى, and whatever is beneath the soil. Whatever is beneath the soil. And then, وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ, if you pronounce the word, if you speak aloud, if you speak loud, فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى, or he knows, he certainly knows the secret and what is even more hidden. If you speak loud or you speak soft, you speak loud or you speak soft. Allah, فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the secret. And beyond that, what is even concealed, what is even more hidden. Your thoughts, the exact thought that you had just at this split second. Who knows this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can hide, but you can't hide from Allah. That is why taqwa is so important and sincerity is so important. To do your actions solely for Allah, because He knows all the, He knows the intricacies of the heart and the secrets of the heart, and He knows what's going through your mind at this moment. Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah, there is no deity, there is no God but Allah. Lahul asma'ul husna, for Him are the beautiful names of Allah. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى, and has they come to you the story of Musa? And then the entire story continues from there about Musa alayhi salam. But we will stop there, and that will be our lesson for Iman. That وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ, this verses of the Quran in Surah Taha in verses 1-112. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, that whoever does actions, pious deeds, from amongst the Muslim males, from amongst the males and from the females. The condition is وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, that they are mu'min, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, they will enter Jannah. So, if your iman is protected, you will enter Jannah. There is no doubt about that. If your iman is not protected and you lose your iman, then there is a big punishment. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and there is a disastrous punishment awaiting the kafirin. And those خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in another verse, they, the unbelievers, will remain therein forever and ever. لَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابِ, the punishment will not be lightened for them. And for the believers, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and for those people who bring iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فِي رَوْضَاتِ الْجَنَّاتِ, they will be in the gardens of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Remember to recite your kalima, La ilaha illallah, every now and then. This kalima has life in it. This kalima is your ticket to the akhirah. Be certain that you recite it before you sleep and when you wake up as well, because people sleep sometimes watching videos that makes them lose their iman, or they may have said something that makes them lose their iman, and they sleep without iman. Just in this week, someone we heard passed away just in their sleep. While sleeping, passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their lives. So we set the alarm for the morning, but who knows if you're going to rise up that morning. Likewise, when we wake up in the morning, recite your kalima as well, and be firm on this, that you love the kalima. Every your dealings, everything comes right. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back on and move on with Kitab al-Tahara.